亲爱的主，我们感谢你，谢谢你今天圣灵召聚我们磐石教会的弟兄姐妹和慕道也来到这里来敬拜你。你是全地的主，你不仅在教会的围墙里是主，你的教会围墙外面这全地都是我们的主。我们为此献上感谢，求主恩待我们，让我们在今天的敬拜中能够与你面对面，也愿主的爱降临在我们中间，愿我们彼此相爱，能够让世人看到我们是你的门徒。愿主在我们的整个的聚会中得到当得的荣耀。听我们在你面前的祷告感恩，奉耶稣基督圣名，阿们。弟兄姐妹平安。昨天晚上我们是晚上8点半回到家的，谢谢弟兄姐妹带导，我们都很顺利。竟然美影竟然一晚睡到天亮都没醒过，连时差都没有，我也睡得不错。这是在上海，我有一天呢在25层上面有带领一个聚会，所以从25层玻璃窗看上去就好像像高山一样。今天我们在平地，我就在想说啊，我们的上帝是全地的主，对不对？无论在哪里搭，我们都可以跟他同在，就好像大卫所说的，我如果升上高天，他也在那里，如果我在阴间下塔，他也在那里，如果我展开青城的翅膀，即使飞到海极，他的手也牵引我啊。我们的神就是这样的一位上帝啊。那我在圣经中常常看到，我们的神常常让我们能够从屋子里面走到屋到外面去，在户外能够来敬拜他。圣经记得讲到亚伯拉罕啊，当罗德与他分手的时候，他心中有一点一点的忧伤，有一点的孤独。圣经上说，这事以后，上帝做了一件什么事呢？上帝就把他从帐篷里带到了帐篷的外面来遥看天上的星星，叫亚伯拉罕来数算天上的星星。你数得过来吗？你以后的子孙也会这样多。虽然你今天是那样的孤独，连你的侄儿罗德都离开了，原来从吾外那边出来的人，所有的人都不在了，似乎只剩了你一个。这事以后，我也在想说，在我们的生命中也常常有这事以后的时候。当我们孤独，当我们无助，当我们绝望的时候，上帝似乎也常常让我们从埋头在屋子里把我们带出来，让我们遥看天上的星星，让我们来思想他在我们生命中的恩典和命定。我们似乎也可以看到，在圣经中看到大卫，我们看到美好的诗篇，当他在旷野中在牧羊的时候，神似乎借着旷野来启示他，你岂不就是我所牧养的那个羊吗？所以在大卫的诗篇里，你可以看到许许多多美丽的画面，其实都是上帝让他在户外所成就的。我们似乎也看到耶稣也是一样，耶稣也知道我们，我们常常可能在电脑桌前，我们常常蜗居在房间里面，我们有许多的孤独，有许多的惆怅，有许多的疑惑，也有许多的侥幸。这个时候耶稣常常叫我们到外面来看看野地的花，是不是？上帝常叫我们到野地来看看花，上帝也当我们常常在林子里来看看小鸟。当我们看到野地的花的时候，似乎听到耶稣的话说，当年所罗门所穿的衣服还没有野地的我所织的那个花来的漂亮。当耶稣让我们看到林中的小鸟的时候，似乎说，即使这两个麻雀若不是上帝的允许，它也不会掉在地上，让我们能够重建里面的信心。所以求神来帮助我们啊，让我们常常可以借着户外的敬拜，借着到户外走一走，能够看到上帝在我们生命中的一些的心意。我想户外的敬拜是一个广义的，神其实让我们不要限制在教会的围墙里面，神也不要让我们局限在我们的经验里面，常常能够让我们到外面去走走。这一次我也是一样，这次到国内到香港去聚会，我也看到许多神带领我们到户外，到教会的墙外面看到他的作为啊。我举只要举几个例子就可以了。这次我竟然在香港的聚会中看到许多穿民族服装的少数民族的牧者，你就看到非常非常的奇妙。有一个是苗族来的啊，他说他们的青苗角苗，角苗是头上戴着角的，他们穿着民族服装叫角苗。他说差不多有10万人，但是他们竟然有信心印制了1万本圣经啊，他们是翻山越岭去送圣经啊。 很奇妙。还有一个隶属族的啊，我记得在一年前呢、啊，我们曾经在教会的祷告会上放过一个短片，是讲说内地会当年有一位牧师叫傅仁能的，他到了隶属族的那里啊，怎么来传福音的？隶属族没有任何的语言，结果你知道他怎么能够竟然能够翻译一本圣经啊？他就用英文26个字母不同的组合，结果竟然创造了个隶属族的文字。现在这个隶属族的官方文字就是当年他所创造的。这是我看到了一本从隶属族带来的一本圣经，非常非常的奇妙。我还讲到一个教会，叫上海的万邦教会。如果大家关心国内的形势的话，大家知道守望教会北京被冲散了，没有办法自由的来敬拜神，似乎弟兄姐妹在敬拜中也会受到很大的逼迫。直到现在为止，你到那个地方去还会被公安带走。好，万邦教会也是一样，因为他们聚会的场所没有办法得到继续的供应，以后他们就化整为零。我看到这是他们的牧者啊，他也来告诉我们，他只是讲到一件事情，万邦教会一个国内的城市教会竟然有万邦的意向。他说2010年那一次，这位牧师崔泉牧师他在家里有40天的禁食的祷告，当他在最后一个礼拜祷告的时候，突然一位朋友从泰国来了，是他原来的一位朋友，也是韩国人。他说这位韩国人他在祷告中里面有一个意向，说中国人会派蛮多的宣教士来到啊海外来宣教，特别是来到泰国去宣教。结果他在泰国待了5天，他说看到很多的人来做生意，从小贩开始慢慢的包一个地摊，然后慢慢的租下一个百货公司，慢慢的成为一个老板。5年过去了，但是没有看到一个宣教士来，所以他就来到了上海找他的朋友崔泉牧师。崔泉牧师正好在进食到最后一个礼拜的时候，当他走进他的家，师母就给他一杯果汁。他拿到这杯果汁的时候他放下了，他说我也同样经过40天的祷告，最后一个礼拜是最艰苦的，所以我要被陪着推拳。所以最后一个礼拜他们一起祷告，祷告完了他说我心里现在有个感动，你们万邦教会能不能差派我作为宣教士到泰国去宣教。一位韩国人，土生土长的韩国人来到中国，盼望中国的教会差派他作为宣教士到韩国去宣教。结果你知道圣灵的火就这样开始了，在短短的两个礼拜里面，万邦教会竟然有15位宣教士出来。2年过去了，4位在中国，11位在世界各地，还有在伊朗宣教的。啊、哦，我看到就是圣灵的火，让我看到父外其实神有很大的作为啊，在他的教会中，在我们的身边啊，神就是这么奇妙的。我在想说，我们这群人是被神在过去的时间中，因着各样的方法带到了啊，奥斯汀来居住。大家知道吗？奥斯汀是历年来如果评比是最佳居住的地方，奥斯汀都是前5名的。奥斯汀，我在想说，我原来在洛杉矶，我觉得洛杉矶也是很美的，但是来到奥斯汀，我觉得奥斯汀似乎更美。奥斯汀有一个就是它一年四季至少有一个可以户外活动啊，是一个。所以我们今天来到这边，大家觉得这么好的天气啊，有小丘，后面都有河流啊，所以整个的环境都是非常非常的好。一年四季，我在想说，神不是从某种不是无缘无故把我们带到这边来的，神把我们这群人带到这里啊，神让我们在这里建立磐石教会，是为了让我们能够常常的走到户外，能够带领人来归向他啊，特别是得到西北的3城啊，求神来帮助我们能够在户外能够看到他的作为和看到他的心意。今天我们在户外敬拜，盼望我们能够见着林中的小鸟，能够看到野地的花，能够心里更明白上帝在我们啊教会中的旨意，也让我们能够真实能够在这里看到啊，就像大卫啊在诗中所想到一样，即使在户外我们也能够看到啊上帝为我们摆设的盛宴，可以看到福杯啊，可以看到上帝的圣殿。我们是否也能够在外面像亚伯拉罕一样数着满天的星斗啊，可以看到在上帝里面他为我们所成就的在一切。好，我们把一切的荣耀颂赞都归给神。
Well, good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
I know everyone arrived at different times, so let's just spend 1 minute, just go and shake hands with 5 people that you have not seen this week, just to kind of welcome everybody, just shake hands with 5 people around real quick. I'd like to just share with you a few I'd like to share with you just a few words this morning. And before we focus on me, I just want us to take a look around at perhaps like the lake back there and how beautiful the surroundings are here in Texas. And we think back to we understand now how Jesus would sometimes take people out to areas like this to teach them. Because we really see something different than just walls and hymn books. We really see something contrasted. Like I'm reminded of when Jesus told the disciples there's a storm. He told the lake and the storm to be still, just like the storm is happening in the East Coast. And it makes we can see Jesus saying to the storm, be still and be quiet, and it did. And I just want to share with you from a couple hundred years before that in Isaiah, where Jesus starts talking about, where God starts sharing with people about peace. So let me just open in prayer, and that's just to share for a couple minutes, and then we will begin with food, okay? God, we thank you, and we want to just open our minds and our hearts to you. We thank you indeed for this church. It's just wonderful to have everyone here, all the brothers and sisters and the uncles and aunties. And before we turn our time later to fellowship, we just want to turn our hearts to you. So let us open our heart and our mind to you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Well, as I said, Jesus talked much with the disciples by the lakeside. And he told them about peace. And peace, I mean, everyone here today, whether you're young or old, on the Chinese or the English side, we're all looking for peace. It's something I've been reminded a lot. In fact, when I counsel people during the week, it's the number one topic, peace and restlessness. Restlessness specifically in the heart. And we're looking for peace because as human beings, we have restless hearts. You know, life, many of us just live life as fast as we can. It's a race. We do things as fast as we can. We grab as much as we can. And so we spend as much as we can. And so we work harder so that we can spend more. But we were created by God, and this is why Sunday is important, to rest, to pause, and to maybe, instead of grabbing, to let go, instead of moving, to slow down, instead of always looking around, just to kind of close our eyes. And he does this for us. He does this for us so that we can, because he knows we are restless. He knows our hearts need a break. And so right now, that's what we're going to do. We're not going to neglect this time, thank you, this time that we have to pause. And God designed us in this time to reflect, not only on all the good things that we have. And as we look around, we have food, we have even though it's cold, we have warm clothes. We reflect and look around at the world that God has designed, but that sometimes we have not kept up with. And we're not to neglect those who can't keep up. The ones who were born less fortunate. The ones that perhaps can't repay us when we give them a small loan. Ultimately, the ones that are hurting. The ones like us that have restlessness in their hearts because of circumstance. And when we don't stop to rest or to respond and to care, and we just go back to working, we can see that it's hard to stay at that pace. You know, some of us just saw the Olympics, and today we have church-wide Olympics by Tao, and we're going to remember some of the Olympics that happened in London. Many of the Olympians, when they came back after months and years of training, you can imagine that they were on this emotional struggle, on this personal and physical struggle, that when they came home after winning gold medals, or perhaps after loss, there was this restlessness in them. You hear about how Michael Phelps just goes running till 4 in the morning, because he's been training so hard. For students, and for those of you that are parents that are no longer students, you know what it's like to study and study for final exams. And then after you're done your final exam, what do you want to do? You want to rest. But actually, you kind of feel like you want to go back to studying because that's all you've done for 2 months. And so many of you students, as I got to know you this summer when we first joined here, it was like, so what do you guys want to do? And it's like, we feel like we should be doing more. We want to be busy. You know, I have a young friend. He was one of the, about 8 years ago I met him. His name's Garrett. I asked permission to share a story. He would always share every year at testimony night, you know, at retreats, about how his life was in disorder. About how he was very competitive in sports. He was very good in school. And I was like, well, why would your life be in disorder? He goes, because there's this restlessness in me. I said, so what are you looking for, Garrett? And he'd always be crying as he shared his story during camps. He said, I'm just looking for peace. I'm looking for peace. So with that in mind, I gave him a book. And I said, I just want you to read this book. Read it a little bit each day. Some of you guys know it's called The Purpose-Driven Life. And I said, maybe let's walk through this. So I dedicated it to him. And, you know, I checked with him the next year. He lost the book. He lost the book. And so I said, you know, I'm trying to help you. So he goes, how can I pray for you? And I prayed for him. And then he would just kind of disappear a little bit out of church. Well, that was Garrett. There was this restlessness in him. And he sought to find that peace in the bars and in the nightclubs. And he dropped out of school, which I know is a terrible thing in Asian families. He dropped out of school to just find himself. There's this restlessness in him. And our minds, when they wander like that, we reminded about why we should become like those Olympian athletes who have so much focus. And in this verse, it says, those whose minds are steadfast on peace. You know, whose minds are steadfast. This is where the problem comes up. On a wedding day, for example, if this is, imagine, you know, the husband is typically here. I could see the husband so fixed on the bride as they come down the aisle because his mind is fully on this. His heart is fully on this as his bride comes down. And it would take a cement truck to run this man over. But yet, like 2 months later, when it comes time to like, honey, can you come help me do the dishes? Or can you set up the table? Like, his mind is so fixed and focused on the TV, where his wife is right here talking and asking. And we know what that's like. The problem is there's a disconnect between the mind and the heart. What the heart wants to do is different than sometimes what the mind does. And so peace actually comes in our heart. But trust, which God says leads to peace, is usually in the mind. I won't trust something unless my mind tells me it's okay. And so today, that's the main point I have today is we need to bring those two parts of our mind and our heart together if we want to find that peace that God can give us. Many people just believe in God. It's up here. You know, as we talk about the elections, everyone says they're a Christian. But very few people actually trust God from here to here. So spiritual maturity is really not about constant peace where there is no worries. Whereas there's no problems. Spiritual maturity is living with constant trust and being at peace that I am not in control, but that God is. And that God's purposes will lead me to something better than I can grab onto myself. It's because as we live the gospel, we find it does not get easier. It's supposed to get harder. I'm going to say that one time. That's a scary thing for my young friends here. As we live the gospel, it does not get easier. It's supposed to get harder. Forgiving someone that's wronged us? Giving away our hard-earned money to those who need help around us and can never repay us? That's not going to bring peace. That's going to bring tension. Every time Lorena and I pull up to an intersection, and we see someone with a sign that says they need help, that creates tension with Lorena and I because I reach into my pocket, and Lorena grabs my hand, and she goes, no, 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 no. Reach into the glove box to get change, not your wallet. If there's a tension between us. And ultimately, the world will notice. Many times they don't like it. But over time, we have seen the greatest institutions, like Rome, the greatest empire in the world, topple because of Christians. And the hardest hearts, and you know this in some of your families, the hardest hearts bend and soften to the peace and the grace of Jesus and his worldwide followers. So I'm just going to review this one more time as Isaiah puts it to us. Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, this is the verse, and I'll kind of give you a simple way to remember it. Isaiah 26, chapter 26, verse 3 says, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. So this is what it looks like, that God loves us. He patiently waits on every one of us. So then it's up to us to respond. And when we trust in God, and we do this by focusing our energies like an athlete does, and we give him our best, we focus our energies on him, this is where the result comes in with peace. Peace replaces the restlessness. And peace ultimately opens up the space and the opportunity to hear God. So let's say this inverted. Peace comes from obedience to God. That is trust. Doing the hard thing. That involves trust. Doing the unseen things, the forgotten things, where people can't repay you. That is trust. Waiting patiently for God to speak and work through you. That is trust. And let me give you one way we can apply this today. I have a very good friend. Some of you met him. And the reason he came down wasn't just to have a vacation. If you notice, he came to visit the church by himself. He's one of my best friends in the world. And recently, he's just gone through the toughest divorce. And as you know, divorce, there's lots of fighting, there's lots of anger, there's lots of bitterness. We can understand, he has no peace and restlessness. He is up all hours of the night. And so the advice I gave to him was, you know, you will be like God. You are a husband waiting for your wayward wife as she dates and dates other men right now. If his wife watches him for 2 to 3 years to see that you choose to remain single, then she will see that you have indeed changed, that you have gone from your wayward ways, that the peace and the confidence that you have comes from within, not from others, the peace that comes from Jesus. So that's one application. The second one is this. I got another email this week. Remember my friend Garrett, my wayward young friend? He said to me just a couple days ago, he goes, "Hey, Paul, you haven't heard from me. I've disappeared for 5 years. 5 years ago, you gave me a book by Rick Warren. On the dedication page, you wrote, read a couple pages from this book a day. Do not depart from it, but make sure you finish reading it. And let me know what you think." And it said, "Pastor Paul." Well, Paul, today I finally did. I started it in the past and I lost the book. But once in a while, I find it when I was cleaning my room. I never really did meditate on the messages. Let them sink in because my mind kept on telling me there's better things to do. And my heart chased after other things. After reading it, I have to tell you that this is the clearest time of my life where I know what God's purpose for me is and what I'm here on earth for. This will sound strange, but this week when I finished reading it, I actually slept very well. I want to thank you for believing in me. God is never late, but always on time. All my past experiences led me to this point where I still got a long way to go, but I'm going to keep on this. Please pray for me, and I remain on this path of peace and to share God's love with his people. I hope you and the family are doing well. Love, Garrett." Well, we live in this tension, this constant struggle. So let's bring our hearts today to God as we worship him. This week, let's continue to fix our minds on God as we continue to trust him together. Amen?
Amen. 亲爱的主，我们来到你的面前， 谢谢你丰富的供应和恩典， 愿我们今天在这里的团聚， 满有你自己的同在。 愿神祝福我们的婚姻， 祝福我们的家庭， 祝福我们的孩子。 为着我们在这里的聚集， 为着我们的桌上的饮食， 我们都向你向他感谢， 求神恩待我们， 听我们在你面前的感恩祷告， 奉耶稣的名， 阿们。